Look beyond the surface. See what is real in yourself and others.
You cannot see.
You think I cannot see?
Of all things, to live in darkness must be the worst.
Fear is the only darkness.
I got an exciting show lined up for you guys tonight. We have we're going to be doing part two of what we've been coined the Man Talk Project. We have we've done a show before. I was actually on Vinnie Eastwood's show a couple of weeks back, and so we are coming. We have Vinnie Eastwood joining us tonight, and a man who needs no introduction on American Freedom Radio. You can of course check out his website, which is thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, where he delivers a great dose of comedy and conspiracy 5 days a week. 5 days a week, I believe, and he'll confirm that for us. And of course, we also have Randy Moggins here with us, and he has his own radio show on offplanetradio.com. And so we're going to be continuing our discussion that we had started on Vinny's show a couple weeks back. And so I'm very excited. We're going to bring up a lot of different interesting topics. I really want to focus on an area that we started talking about on that show, which was just basically, what is the role of men in our modern day and age and in our society? What has happened to men these days in this system in which we live and in this time in which we live? And what would be, you know, the difference between when we talk about male, female, and also masculine, feminine? We're talking more about sort of an energetic or psychological type of thing. And so I want to kind of narrow down this topic and get into as many different aspects as we can. So without further ado, I want to welcome my guest. So Randy, I'm going to go ahead and welcome you first. Welcome to Truth Warrior, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on, David. It's great to be here tonight.
Awesome, awesome. And I got your website right, correct?
Offplanetradio.com. You got it.
Excellent. And when do you do your show? Is it just once a week or a couple times a week?
You know, right now it's been pretty limited to doing Wednesday nights, 9 to 11 p.m., and we're streaming that on the websites. There's two websites, offplanetradio.net. That's the other site, which is the theoretical web, the theoretical network side of it. And right now, but I do sporadic podcasts.
Oh, Randy, you're just breaking up a little bit there. Maybe just repeat the last sentence you had there.
Oh, sorry about that. Last part of it.
Oh, Randy, you there?
Hello.
Okay, let's take a little bit of connection interference.
I can hear Randy. Can you hear me, David?
I can hear you. Yes,
Randy, can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah. No problem.
Oh, there we go. Hey, there's Vinny. Let's bring Vinny.
There you go.
Vinny, welcome to the show, brother. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me, bro. It's good to continue the Man Talk project to let people know that men aren't just, you know, stars and pornos and also really terrible family examples, you know, that kind of thing. Isn't that what men have been reduced to? It's like, oh, you got a big wang. We'll give you a nice job as a porno boy. Other than that, or we're freaking Homer Simpson or Peter Griffin. You know? You know, trying to attract and kill sailors with my siren song.
We most definitely have been reduced to that, absolutely. And basically, hey, Vinny, let's start with you, actually. I wanted to get you guys' definition of terms here, because before we get into the subject, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, they talk about men and women, the differences, the battle of the sexes, etc. And then when you get into doing some research into ancient traditions and they're talking about, you know, the divine feminine, the divine masculine, masculine, and it's a whole other realm of looking at this thing. So maybe, Vinny, just go ahead and give your distinction between, you know, what we would say is male and female, and what you would say would be sort of masculine and feminine, and if there's any difference the way you look at it.
Well, see, we're talking about the divine feminine, the divine masculine, and I'm here, man. You've got some real bad problem with your audio today, David. Some people talk about the divine feminine, yeah, some about the divine masculine. Whereas me, you know, sometimes I think it's time to, talk about the divine masculine and how trippy everything is. Because that's essentially what society has turned into. It's turned into this really abominable position for any manly man. Okay, manly man. This is how he's portrayed in the media and by the feminazi. He's violent. He's aggressive. He's callous. He doesn't care about anything. All he's good for, and even in fact, he's obsolete. Basically, we're just objects for sex and violence, and that's about all we're good for. You know. And the part of the sex thing, hey, there's innumerable other products out there where women can purchase for like $3.95 or $3.69.
Yeah,
that means that they no longer.
Sorry, Vinny, you're coming in a little choppy. I'm just trying to see if it's coming in on my end or your end or so that we can hear exactly what you're saying there. I got a little bit of that. I'm not sure.
Yeah. And what about you, Randy? Okay. Am I coming through clear for you?
You are, I think we're hearing each other. I think it's chopping up on David's side.
Yeah. AFR, producer, drop out, okay. And David from his own show and then reconnect it.
We're taking over now.
Okay, take over. I'll be back.
Yeah, you're out. Well, you're out. Okay. I was talking about on my show today about kind of leftist movements and things like that and where they're actually moving the country, because the right of the left, the left of the left, and that's about it. You know, you got full-on, hardcore, tyrannical, Agenda 21, socialist Stalinism coming in globally. And you know what is a real threat to that? Actual manly men who go, no, frack you, I want to resist. I can shoot a gun. I will blow your blue helmeted head off. You know, that kind of a mentality. Honor, decency, common morality, respect, helping out a brother from another mother. Those are the kind of male aspects that seem to be blown away.
My God, you just nailed it. The whole integrity thing. And that's actually what we talked about the last time as well, was just, you know, we have all these stereotypes that they want to fit us into. Well, you're a jock, you sit around, you watch football, you drink beer, your feet smell, you clip your toenails on the rug. And it's kind of like, you know, maybe there's something deeper in the whole male experience that has been kind of fluffed over by the media who promote the male stereotype that you see on television.
Absolutely. Now, guys, I'm back on the air. Can you hear me okay?
We can, yes.
Awesome.
I've been able to since day one.
Oh, perfect.
No, but I seem to disagree with the point Randy was making there. I don't think there really is any higher calling to a man than clipping your toenails on the rug. I mean, you know, that's just me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and you guys, I heard both of you guys go on that, and I really appreciate that because, I mean, speaking as men, we've all experienced going out with the guys, going out with your friends, many of them who are not awake fully to really what's going on in the world, the real problems that we face, which is pretty sad because I remember sitting around a table with my grandfather, and unfortunately he was in a nursing home, but a lot of people at the nursing home, a lot of the guys in that category, they were sitting around the checker table and talking about what they had survived, which was of course World War II and many other different things. And they were talking to me, and it inspired me because they were saying, even as a young child, they were telling me, you can never forget what happened. You've got to always remember what took place so that you can prevent it from happening again. And it seemed like back in the day, men would sit around and they would talk about these issues. They would talk about politics. They would talk about, you know, just what's going on in the world. They would at least converse about these things. But now in our day and age, when we're out with the average, you know, our average friends, mostly what you're talking about is media or, you know, just everyday minutiae, stuff that really doesn't matter. Not that there's anything wrong with it per se, but it's the inescapable focus of the topical conversation amongst men. And I just feel like the perfect word is nothing else but castration. It's sort of, that's what it's come down to. It's more of a cycle.
I've coined the term psychological castration.
Oh, exactly. It sums it up. So, I mean, speaking from your own experience, let's start with you, Randy. I'm sure you've got some friends that might not be fully up to snuff on what's going on or going on any kind of journey of trying to figure out who they are, why they're here, where they're going, etc. And what's your experience been?
I don't anymore. And here's why. Because I've reached the age where I don't require the type of social interaction anymore that I did when I was in my 20s, my 30s, and probably, you know, a little bit past that, where I went out with guys and tossed down the beers and, you know, watched the sports programs. But it's been a game of attrition for about 10 years for me, which is about the same clock that's been running on my consciousness development. And what happens is that people just drop off the map because they discover that the old you isn't there anymore. And the new you is both much more serious and yet at the same time actually a hell of a lot more fun. But they got to raise their own game a little bit. So for me, I don't have that as a present day experience, but I remember it more from the past. And I humored that for a long time. I would go to take a weekend, go with the guys, go to Philadelphia, see the 76ers, drink a lot, do the male crude humor. And I felt empty. And I didn't know why I felt empty. Well, part of it was because in that relationship, that whole equation, there was no interaction of something that was a little bit higher. So over time, I guess I've kind of sloughed off a lot of what I would call the dead weight in my life.
Yeah, that's essentially what happens is you basically you grow up and then you realize that the people that you grew up with didn't actually grow up. And you're like, don't need them anymore. You, over there, what's your name? Oh, my name's such and such and blah, blah, blah. Have you already grown up? You already know what you're talking about? You're actually doing something with your life that that isn't meaningless, vacuous, and basically conforming to the New World Order styles of being a douchebag? No, I'm not. Well, would you like to be friends? Yeah, sure, why not? And that's essentially what happens in a nutshell, because just the other night I had a very long, deep conversation with one of my good longtime friends, Jono, and we sort of stayed up all night talking, and he was revealing a lot of things about his past and a lot of things that he's not particularly proud of. And we're both looking at each other because we're basically the only friends each other has had for a very long time that are actually going somewhere in our lives. And that's probably the reason why we're still friends, is because we acknowledge who we were in the past, but we acknowledge that we're not the same people anymore, and that going nowhere in life is not freaking worth the effort, and certainly not worth the effort of going nowhere in a life shared with somebody else who's also going where? Nowhere. That's right. Because they're not developing. They're not questioning themselves. They're not trying to make more money, have a healthier family, have a healthier life. They're not trying to expand their minds at all whatsoever. You know, like Jono's listening to these self-help audio tapes and stuff like that because he's like driving around. And it's like, you know what you do when you kind of don't feel inspired anymore? You do a bit of learning, apparently. When you're actually learning things that you don't already know, you start to expand your mind a little bit, and then you start to value each day just that little bit more, because at the end of this day that you've done absolutely nothing, what have you gained? Oh, we've gained a little bit of money so that you can survive for another week working at your slave job. Well, that's not freaking useful at all. If you learn something, on the other hand, learn something valuable about yourself or about your life or about the way the world truly works, that is what being a man is all about.
Wow, that's it. You hit the nail on the head. And I think that tell me what you think about this. This situation that we're in and the way that the advertising, TV, the media, which is pretty much the main influence in people's lives these days, it's kind of turned into a sort of a new cult or a new type of religion when you look at it really objectively. And what it is it seems to be less thought, less deep inner thinking whatsoever, and the whole, you know, just do as many shots and beer funnels as you possibly can, watch a bunch of garbage, focus on sports, you know, live vicariously through a bunch of these role models that we're going to set up as superheroes for you, because you, of course, can never be, you know, George St. Pierre or Michael Jordan or any of these people. So you're just going to live the rest of your life fawning at the feet of these people and just giving away your own sovereignty and your own potential, basically. And I think that that is by design, because if you've got a population of the males, which of course the elites have always feared, because they're the ones that, you know, start the resistances in terms of the physical assaults on their castles, etc. They need to keep men in this type of box where they're disempowered, where they're not being that role of the protector anymore. They're not filling any kind of role, really, other than just as they're portrayed in the media, useless slobs, right?
We're dependent. And that's part of the socialist agenda. If you have a whole bunch of men who are completely dependent on the state, never even know anything about self-reliance, how in the frack are they ever going to resist the state?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
exactly.
And I've been just talking with a couple of mates just the other day, actually, and they were going on about the rugby. And apparently this rugby team in Auckland has run the Log Award, I think they call it, the Ranfurly Shield, for the first time in 65 years, okay? And they're going off the wall about it. And I say, okay, I'm not paying any attention to this. And they're like, why not? And I say, because it doesn't actually really affect me. And they're like, well, what do you mean? I say, well, does it really affect you? Do you actually share in their accomplishment of winning this the shield? And they go, yes, I do. And I go, in what way? And they're like, well, you know what? Actually, I guess I haven't. I say, well, that's the reason why they throw all these sports in front of you, mate, is to distract you, make you think that you're achieving something vicariously through a bunch of sports people who have never even met you, don't give a frack about you, and are covered in advertisements like a gosh dang NASCAR driver. So all they're doing is distracting you, taking out all your male energy, taking away your own personal sense of accomplishment, and at the same time, they're creating a spectacle for which to distract society in the main away from very important issues, much like they did in Rome around the crumbling of the Roman Empire. Yeah. They gave them bread, the
gladiator
circuses,
sports,
put the gladiators in the middle there, and just say, hey, look, you know, I know the empire is crumbling, and I know that you're supposed to be doing something to help your country, but please, instead, watch these numbskulls bang their heads together and feel like you're achieving something as a result.
Exactly. Guys, don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back here with Vinny Eastwood and Roger Price. I'm your host, David Whitehead, and I'm here with my two very special guests, Randy Moggins and Vinny Eastwood, and we are just breaking down this is the second episode of the Man Talk Project, and we're talking about men. We're talking about where have the adults gone, where have the real men gone that would stand up to a lot of the things that are going on today in no matter what country in the world that you live, and we're basically seeing a lack of resistance. And when we were first breaking a few different points down there, we were bringing up the idea that basically this is part of a social engineering project where they need to castrate the real essence of the masculine side, which has always been associated with action, the action instinct to react when you're under attack, to see danger, to always try to strive for something higher, to, you know, it's not about competition. It's not about just survival of the fittest. It's about seeing something that is wrong that is happening around you and choosing to act and choosing to do what's right. And we just see a lack of that going on, especially in the men these days. And maybe Randy, we'll start with you in this section. What do you think basically has been going on behind the scenes to bring this about? I mean, you've been doing some research for a while in these different subjects, and how orchestrated do you think this is versus how natural do you think this is? Is it a bit of both?
Oh, more you just walked side? Into. You just walked into two words. How natural is this? Let me get this out of my system now, because please, I need to say this. What the hell is going on with this Bradley Manning thing? I mean, it used to be called This Man's Army, and now all of a sudden we find out that this person, Bradley Manning, who we thought was probably a whistleblower, and it turns out now we've got this whole conversation that's gone into transgender in the military. A man who wants to be a woman. No, he is a woman. No, he's a man. We're confused here. But now it's Chelsea Manning, and they want the government to pay for the hormone treatments for Chelsea Manning to be in Leavenworth with a bunch of men. What the flip is going on with this shit?
Yeah, well, I mean, that just came out of the blue. When I saw that, the first thing I thought was, someone got to him. This is staged. This is something that they're trying to do to just pull the attention away from the case. Or you know, is that what you think? Or
yeah, let's stop talking about, you know, U.S. government documents. Let's stop talking about the WikiLeaks. Let's stop talking about the New World Order. Okay, stop talking about that. You know what's really important? A man and his vagina.
It's pretty much, and that seems to be the focus of the different, especially the media can jump on this and just smear anything that had, you know, any of this stuff that was coming up with all this whole I am Bradley Manning, and now Bradley Manning doesn't know really who he is, apparently.
Hey, well, now the women can join and hold a little sign up that says, I am Chelsea Manning.
Yeah, I guess so.
See, this actually
has to be disinformation, or this has to be something where, or just it was something going on behind the scenes, and then it just they chose to bring it out like this so that, again, it takes the focus away from the real issue.
Damn, we can't cover it up by putting him in jail. Let's cover it up by putting him in a woman's shoes. Yeah, that'll distract the living frack out of everybody.
I'd like a really nice pair of black pumps, please. You know, this actually goes to the heart of what we're talking about, because there's something in the media, and unfortunately I heard some of the coverage that National Public Radio did on this, and they actually have elected to go politically correct and refer to him, her, as Chelsea Manning, when in fact no name change has been done, and they bought into the whole thing. So I think this is just another assault, not only on manhood, but on the most basic level of what you would call the military. Look, we all know the military is messed up, but there is a group of people inside of our military, whether you're in the U.S., Canada, Australia, wherever you are, there are good people there. There are men there of valor. There are men there who will fall on the grenade, take the bullet, do whatever they got to do. And while I don't agree with their missions, I do understand the mindset of people who are military. And this is just like basically pissing all over the military while at the same time mocking them and putting this gross joke on top of what originally started out as leaking, frankly, some pretty critical information that I think the world has a right to know what was leaked there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, I do actually also want to put out to people that this is part of the socialist agenda as well. If you look up documents from the Fabian Society and a number of other socialist think tanks, even as far back as the 60s, it's all written down black and white. We want to destroy the family unit. We want to promote homosexuality. We want to confuse the genders and all of this kind of stuff. It's all part of the agenda, so to speak. All right, and why do you think that is? You know, if men are always busy questioning themselves and their own sexuality and whether or not I really am a woman or really am a man or whatever, let me just drink out of this BPA containing plastic bottle for a second here in order to simulate some estrogen. Give me a second.
Nice.
Oh, man, that shrinks them a little. That's nice. Now, I also. Here's the other agenda here that people really aren't talking about. Okay, not only is it homosexuality being promoted? Let's say that being gay is natural, it's perfectly fine, no worries. It's been in existence since all the way back through in ancient Macedonia when King Alexander was taking on Persia and everything like that, you know. The Olympics were originally gay men wrestling. There's a whole bunch of long history for it, but it was very, very, very isolated. And nowadays, it just seems to be exploding. There's gay characters on every single program. There's gay promotion everywhere. Now, if you were to, say, insult a communist and say you're a communist scumbag or something like that, they go, well, it's free speech. But if you're gay and somebody says, I don't like you because you're gay, it's now hate speech and you can be arrested. Now, think about that. What kind of free speech do you have in a society where you can't criticize anybody's sexual preference or anything like that? I mean, nowadays, I mean, I don't know about you guys when you were back in time, high school or whatever, but everybody used to insult everybody who was heterosexual for being gay, so on and so forth, just as a form of an insult. Now you can't do it. Otherwise, it's hate speech, even if the person you're insulting is or isn't gay. Okay? This is something that destroys the family unit to a large degree. I'm sorry, yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, no, I think that's really where that's going. And, personally, if whether you're gay, whether you're straight, whether you're transgender or whatever, I'm totally cool with that. As long as you are being free or expressing yourself the way you want to express yourself, that doesn't bother me. What bothers me is when you have this social engineering element that is there to, like you said, to confuse the identity of people, to confuse the topic of conversation from, in the example of Bradley Manning, from something that is political, something that is talking about revealing secrets that the government is withholding, etc. And now all of a sudden the conversation goes back to something like this, and some, you know, Hollywood can get a hold of this, the media gets a hold of this, and they just run with it. And then again, it's all about trying to decay the family unit, which is the goal, and they'll use any means necessary to try to accomplish that. And, you know, with men today, you know, if we kind of switch gears a little bit and look at the situation where a lot of look at the economy, look at the lack of jobs that are out there. So now you've got men that maybe would have just working a regular 9-to-5 job and then coming home and, you know, tending their families and just spending time with their families. Now you got to work 2-3 jobs just to make ends meet. And on the other side of the coin, you have the mothers that are also now having to work 2-3 jobs. So you got both parents completely occupied. Who's raising these kids? Well,
the state.
It's the media. It's the state. Exactly. And that's also what they've been looking to do.
Well, the governments of the world have known for a long time that if you ever wanted to take over a country, the first target is the children. Always the first target is the children. Kinder is a German word, now kindergarten, you know. It happened when World War II, or pre-World War II, Nazi Germany outlawed homeschooling. Mm-hmm. And then that was the very first group of people who they took rights away from. It wasn't the communists, it wasn't the socialists, it wasn't the religious people, it wasn't the Jews. It was homeschoolers. Think about that, okay? You and your ability to raise your own kids and to teach them your morals, your ethics, your views on the world, that kind of thing. The state struggles very, very plainly to stop that from happening. That way they can attach themselves onto your children like a mind parasite and raise them up to be brainwashed little slaves.
No, exactly. And if we look at our parents' generation and then our grandparents' generation compared to, you know, men in their 20s and 30s today, we see a huge difference in values, in what's cool versus what's not cool, the way men are, you know, treat women, the way women treat men. We're living in a whole different world. And I have a feeling when I talk to, you know, my parents' generation and their parents' generation, they're having trouble keeping up with it. They're, you know, even then they're in shock as to they don't really know how to fit in. Plus you have this explosion in modern technology. Everybody's glued to their iPhones. And it's a totally different world. And if you look at it, even in the eyes of, like, say, the last 20 years, you've seen all of these different things increasing. And as a result, you see more and more young children on psychotropic drugs, on all kinds of antidepressants. The suicide rates are just flying off the charts. I don't even think anybody's keeping track of it anymore. That's how bad it's getting. And so we see the decay everywhere. And when we're talking again about this whole masculine feminine concept, I definitely agree that it's not having to do with male, female in terms of gender. What we're talking about here is basically just, you know, two frequencies of vibrational energy, if for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. And when you have a confusion of that energy going on, whether with the women, they're trying to masculine or, you know, make the women more masculine. Randy, you brought this up in the last conversation about how on all the TV shows now you've got the women that are becoming more of the male type role and fitting in with the males and in the male role models. And then you've got the men that are becoming more feminized. So you're getting an imbalancement taking place. And I think that when you should be balanced both. You should be yin and yang. You should have a good balanced masculine, feminine energy and a consciousness within your being. But they need to find any way to distort, twist, and manipulate that so that you're off your game, you're off your base, and you have nowhere to really launch. And then you have the confusion that we see. I mean, what do you guys think about that?
I do think so. Randy, you haven't spoken for a moment, but go for your life.
No, actually, this has all been designed. This is the confusion that we see in our culture now was socially engineered way, way back. It's funny, on my show last week, I read a report that came out of Tavistock on what they were designing back in the 30s. And they were socially engineering from the beginning to deconstruct the normal family unit and to deconstruct the culture using anything that they had. They were anticipating electronic media at that time. They were also, through the Nazi programs, anticipating deconstructing gender in certain ways. A lot of people don't know that that behind the scenes, the Nazis also were promoting homosexuality, even as they were persecuting homosexuals in the culture itself. And at the same time, they were blurring lines in a lot of ways. But the culture that you have now is so messed up because we live in front of our media. You know, maybe the biggest problem is that box that we installed in our living room and allowed to take over our minds a long time ago. We went from Ozzie and Harriet to,
The Simpsons.
The Simpsons is, yeah, that's a great one. To where now we don't know what the hell a family is. Now you've got, what is it, Family Guy, where you've got a dog that's basically the head of the household and a smart-ass baby and a father who's a complete dumbass. So you have all this inversion of roles that just go round and round. And don't think that doesn't sink into the consciousness, especially with young kids and especially, from my perspective in my household, young males. Because I have a house full of males here. I have two teenage sons.
Mm. And also, the other element is how feminists see themselves. And I was talking to my sister the other day, and she's a bit of a feminist, and she was saying, well, you know, if it wasn't for feminism, I'd be, you know, married to some guy, and I would have had three kids, and I probably would have blown my brains out a whole while ago. And I said, well, do you know who funded feminism? And they're like, oh, that's irrelevant. And I go, well, actually it is. Who funded feminism? It was the Rockefellers. Why did they fund feminism? Well, they knew that it would destroy the family unit, because as even the statistics prove this to be the point. I think it was in 1969, close to 90% of women who were attained higher education in college never had children. Okay, and so it deprived women of any kind of traditional value or role, and it seemed to say that being a mother, raising children properly, was a bad thing, that this was part of your oppression, that this was something that was bad for you, this was something evil that was imposed on you. It wasn't like, I'm a mother and I'm raising children who will go on to be the leaders of this country, who will go on to be responsible citizens, who will care for me long after I'm able to take care of them or work or do anything of that nature. No, no, no. Now it is. You have to work and you're a slave and you'll never have kids. Invariably, that's what has happened with feminism. It hasn't worked out too well for anybody, because now nobody got a choice about anything either way.
Yeah, and they always hide behind the illusion of choice, and that everything is done for, you know, the freedom of choice. If you look at when they were trying to abolish slavery, they really didn't abolish slavery. They just abolished one form of slavery and then brought these guys in to make them legal persons so that they could contribute to American society, pay taxes, and become another form of slave, which, you know, we all remain to this day. So it seems like they'll pull the old 1-2 punch.
We'll be right back, folks.
Yeah, there we go. There's a break. back, everybody. We are live on Truth Warrior. Whitehead. I'm here with my two very special guests, Vinny Eastwood from the VinnyEastwoodShow.com and Randy Moggins from OffPlanetRadio.com. And we're having a very interesting discussion, trying to bring in some different elements to what's going on with the men these days. And I just wanted to throw out a little Celtic prophecy that I came across not too long ago, where basically a priestess was foretelling the approaching end of the divine age and the beginning of a new one, in which she says the summers would be flowerless, the cows milkless, the women shameless, and the men strengthless, in which there would be trees without fruit and seas without fish, when old men would give false judgments and legislators making unjust laws, when warriors would betray one another, and men would be thieves, and there'd be no more virtue left in the world. And this is, of course, a couple thousand years old. So I don't know, guys, what do you think? Did they nail it on the head?
I think the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, I definitely look at it in that sense as well. Maybe these were some different cycles that we seem to be going to, and it could relate to, of course, just human consciousness in general. It could relate to, you know, the topical planet Earth cycles. You know, a lot of people predict these different Earth changes, etc. But one of the things that I see that's pretty much replete throughout any of these ancient texts is that we keep coming upon this age where, you know, it's sort of a different type of dark age. It's not necessarily dark ages that, you know, when you look at the Middle Ages and the Dark Ages, the Inquisition, etc. It's sort of an updated dark ages in terms of ignorance and consciousness. And
a psychological dark age.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like, you know, it reminds me of that scene in Aliens where Sigourney Weaver comes back and she tries to explain to them what the alien did to the ship. And they said, oh, but you know, it can't be a thing. And she says, did IQs just drop sharply while I was away? You know, and that's kind of what men like us feel like these days. It's like, was I asleep for like 20 years or something like that? And I just woke up have you ever seen the film Idiocracy, where he goes to sleep for 500 years in some kind of a time capsule and he wakes up and the entire world is full of morons because the corporations bought out everything that was important to the culture and just dumbed everybody down so they'd never realized that they were being scammed, and now there's no food, no water, no nothing, and everything's completely fracked, and all the old technology and everything that smart people built is just being basically run down and being destroyed because everybody's too freaking stupid to fix any problems.
Yeah, it seems to be a trend in Hollywood these days. And, you know, that's a good thing to bring up as well, where we're talking about culture creation through the media, which is sort of the biggest oracle these days. It goes back to that movie Network, where that character, I forget his name at the moment there, but he was basically talking about television being the most powerful, awesome force the world has ever seen. In the whole godless world, exactly. And here we are. And with Hollywood pumping out these movies, everything's apocalyptic and it's the end of the world and the aliens are invading, and everything that we're seeing take place is taking place on a more extreme level. And I think that, you know, to some extent you could look at that and some people say, oh, it's predictive programming. They're trying to instill fear and then have us actually bring this type of future about, which is true. But I think this is very much ultimately an attack on consciousness. And it's a way to subconsciously have people create this sort of apocalyptic environment, which makes them easy prey for, you know, intelligent psychopaths. And I think when people think about the powers that be or the controlling elite or whatever you want to call it, a lot of people maybe think that they are somehow not as intelligent because of the fact that they're not moral. And I would tend to disagree. I would say, actually, the morality that we have is, in their estimation, it's our weakness, because of the fact that we, you know, when we cause some kind of action, we hope that it would cause and bring about good. And we don't want to be involved in war. I mean, the average person you talk about, they don't want to be involved in war. They don't want to see any of these things taking place in the world, but they're taking place anyways. And that's because there is sort of, it's the system itself has become psychotic, and it's been reflecting the people that created it. And then I see, you know, just regular, average, everyday Joes just basically being pulled into it because of a lack of intelligence. So I would say that what we're up against here is very sophisticated, very intelligent. These people know us probably way better than we know ourselves. And we're left helpless here in one sense or another. That doesn't mean we are helpless, but because of the fact that there's this level of ignorance that's taking place, I mean, that's really the only hope, as far as I see, is that we can transcend that and try to reconnect with that spirit of rebellion again, that spirit of standing up and seeing and being aware, at least being aware that this is actually taking place.
You know, I wonder if what you're talking about is really rebellion or is it nobility? You see, I draw the distinction where I go rebelling from what? The uprising of the just against the wicked, against the degradation of the energy, the lowering of moral standards, the lowering of intellect, those are not norm. They redefine norm in order to get us to that place. So my rebellion is an act of nobility in rising up and saying, no, your system is sick, it's broken, it's dying, and I do not stand with it anymore. And I think when you reframe it that way, you get a slightly different argument, because a lot of people are uncomfortable with the role of uprising, because in our culture now, it's not only politically correct, it's actually goddamn illegal to speak up against the status quo in this country. I mean, they will come for your guns. They will confiscate your computers. They will break down your doors. When you finally transgress the system, they come at you with jackboots. And I look at it another way and I say, no, this is an act of nobility. I'm not a martyr, but I'm certainly willing to lay my butt on the line in order to assert the nobility that actually is inside of human beings when they're allowed to develop it.
And I've just popped a picture into the chat here for you guys to look at. Now, this is the daughter of the Prime Sinister, John Key. Okay, she got red dyed hair, red lipstick, hugely overdone eyelashes, you know, drawn on eyebrows, got a cherry in her mouth, wearing red kind of long sleeve gloves, holding a fake red pistol. She's got red G-string on her and a word that says pop inside her underwear. Okay, pop my cherry, baby. That's basically what's going on here. This is the 20-year-old son of the current prime minister, 20-year-old daughter, sorry. Maybe a bit of a Freudian slip. Maybe she'll change her name to Bradley. But does it work the other way around? I don't know. So this is what we have, okay? This is the daughter of what you'd expect to be a statesman, okay? And doing virtual pornography, right? And very suggestible nonetheless. And get this. This is part of her art school curriculum, okay? This is a part of her Parisian art school curriculum. And this is the example. This is the example that I want to show people about why the system and its controllers are so fracked and are so out of touch with morality, with reality, with anything that is good and decent. Immoral behavior produces more immoral behavior, does it not? And if we're not talking about being demure, if we're not talking about having respect for your own body, for human consciousness, for morality, then what kind of future do we have? And the answer is a future much like this young woman right here. Pornographic, disgusting, and all done for the sake of art. And indeed, this is another part of the satanic agenda, allegedly, is to really, really get into modern artwork, because guess how to control people? You control the people that control their thinking. They'll control the media, they'll control the arts, they'll control everything that really provokes any thoughts. And what kind of thought is being promoted by a young girl with a fake gun, with a cherry in her mouth, and the word pop popped into her underpants?
Yeah, and like you said, this is supposed to be from someone who's supposed to be a statesman, supposed to be representing morality. And, you know, again, with women and the role that they're being led into playing, especially in the media, where it's nothing but pornographic. It's a way of agitating the males to basically get this whole hard, you know, playing hard to get, driving.
Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Ladies, I got a question for you. When was the last time a man opened a door for you? When was the last time a man stood up at the table when you arrived or left? When was the last time that he would, I don't know, throw his jacket or whatever over a puddle so you could walk across it? When was the last time you were given flowers or chocolates when he hadn't done anything wrong and he was just doing it to appreciate you? When was the last time your man gave you a foot massage when he didn't ask for it? When was the last time? When was the last time? When was the last time? And the answer is these things that women once were treated with respect, with dignity, with reverence by men no longer exist. And then we rephrase the question, when was the last time a man expected sex from you after buying you dinner? When was the last time a man treated you like an object?
Yep. No, great points, and we definitely have to take a look at that in our modern day, because we're just seeing nothing but the degradation of those virtues and those morals. And so let's continue with this on the other side, guys. We're going into the second hour, so folks, don't go anywhere. You're here on Truth Warrior, and we'll be back in a few short minutes, so stay put. Once again, my name is David Whitehead. I'm your host tonight. You're listening to Truth Warrior on American Freedom Radio. And I'm here with my guests, Randy Moggins and Vinny Eastwood. And we're breaking down the degradation of our society, the role of the masculine and feminine, which has been completely twisted and lost. And as we were on the break, I was just doing some surfing on the mainstream Canadian news stations, and I just went to a couple different websites there, one of them being CTV, which is one of the biggest news stations around. And when you go to these mainstream sites, you get to the main page, and I mean, we were just looking there, and if you go there right now to just ctv.ca, the first image that pops up, of course, is just America's Next Top Model and all the latest television shows. And it seems to be more and more just about entertainment. But this one image of the America's Next Top Model, it just kind of illustrated perfectly for me what we're talking about here tonight. You got all the girls on one side, they're all in black, they all look like hookers. And then you look, you know, on the right side, you got all the men, they're all in black, and they also look like hookers. And it's just,
well, they look
like Chippendales.
Yeah.
Well, what's
yeah.
the difference? Chippendales for hire.
So check out, you know.
This isn't anything manly.
Whoa. And look at how unmanly there are. There isn't a chest hair between them.
No, it's all gone. Oh, wait, that one guy has some, but he's wearing black leather pants.
He does not. That's just the pants.
There's chest hair between four guys there, I'm telling you.
Yeah. There is not one. Okay, you could prowl over the motherfracker with tweezers and a magnifying glass for 6 hours. You wouldn't find a single chest hair, bro.
Here's the thing: the dominant image there is the woman in the center with the black, I guess you would call it, kind of almost a military style hat. But she's very, very dominant looking. She looks like a dominatrix, and she is the central figure. So the feminine figure here is the aggressor. The guys are standing off to the side. And of course you've got, women who are apparently her posse in the background as well.
Well, something that's a near rhyme with posse.
I wasn't going to go there, but you can.
I alluded to it, okay? It's just like in television sex scenes, okay? It's all implied, folks. It's all implied.
Whole webpage out. One guy does have chest hair, by the way. Yeah, he does. Okay, good. Anyway, why does Canada care about America's next top models, except that America is now the great exporter of image? And this is the image we're exporting.
Well, I mean, basically, Canada is essentially just the 50s.
It's American.
It's just another American colony now. Well, but technically, that's just a British colony. But
yeah.
I mean, it's all the same advertising companies that own all the media. There's no difference, folks. When you're looking at these different news outlets, I mean, you're just looking at the same thing, no matter what channel you go to. You got 500 channels. How many different news stations that are on there? You got
owned by five companies.
Yeah, exactly, and all of this is very carefully orchestrated. These images aren't just shot in 30 seconds where, oh, strike a pose, boom, it's done. No, this is a whole, they do a whole day photo shoot. They've got everybody in the exact position, the exact pose, the colors, everything is there to appeal to your senses so that you tune in and you start caring about who's the next top model. Now, I'm not trying to bash anybody's career choices, but in the day and age in which we live, especially, looking at the way things are in America, Canada, Australia, pretty much everywhere. But if you look at America right now, it is just absolutely in shambles. People living in tent cities, the unemployment rate through the roof. It's not even the numbers that you're getting from the mainstream media aren't accurate at all. They're undercutting it big time. You've had all of your money in all the banks that are just basically run by offshore central banks. And the country, it really isn't a country anymore. It's just another corporate entity that is joining this, sort of big globalist empire. And the media that is coming out of this and the people that own the media are the same people that are, lobbying in the government, that are running the corporations, that are, I see it coming into Canada more and more all the time. And I just see that anything that was uniquely Canadian, which is really hard to define these days, it's just all turning into the same. You see the same things coming in, the same businesses, the same corporations, the same banks that are basically, setting everything up as it is in America. So we're losing our identity here. And you've got one of our local Canadian news stations. And instead of talking about the problems that are going on in Syria, that is a big concern. The any of these real issues that we should probably be paying attention to, that we're all contributing to by paying our taxes and having our tax dollars go to paying the debt to these bankers and to, fund the military campaigns across the world. I mean, we're just sitting back and watching America's Next Top Model, and that is really the only thing that is consuming our mind at this point.
This is pathetic. This guy, and I know for people who are on radio, this is, we're doing visual media over airwaves, but one of the models on here, his name's Chris, and he was the first male model to be eliminated. He says it was his, he fulfilled his dream by being on America's Next Top Model. So what's next? What do? Stick the gun in your mouth at that point? I mean, come on. This is vacuous. This is inane. It is empty. And this is what they're marketing.
This is also something that teaches people that you're nobody until you're on television, that X Factor is the only way to become rich and famous, that is the biggest achievement you'll ever go through in your life. But I can tell you, having been seen on television and been heard on radio for a number of years, this ain't nothing. It means absolutely nothing. What matters is what you do in your real life. How many people have you helped today? How much honor, discipline, self-respect, responsibility, and integrity have you shown today alone? Because each day that you live is a judgment upon you, because every day there are character calls to make. And what these television shows make you forget is all of that, that there is only one thing: to look pretty in front of a lens. You're right when you say it's empty.
you're right when you say it's shallow, because they're trying to rob everybody's perception and an example of anything that could be construed of as a real man or a real woman. Because a man becomes a father, a woman becomes a mother. That's a natural progression. Then you become a grandmother and so on and so forth. Depending if you're born in the South, maybe you'll even have great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren while you're still alive, because everybody starts breeding when they're about like 12. And now, the other element here, it's not just about that, but also sexuality. Sexuality is a really raw, low-down, raunchy kind of thing in the media. But sexuality in your real life, hey, that's very, very different, isn't it? You know, you're not going hardcore of all these girls with the tattoos and the shaving and so on and so forth. This is just artificial manicuring, okay? Just to kind of hide who you really are and more or less be ashamed of your own body. Make it appear something dirty or disgusting when it's actually something that's quite beautiful and doesn't require an awful lot of analysis, really, at the end of the day, to tell you the truth. Maybe some reflection. But other than that, they're turning it into something that it's not. It should be about, do you actually really love this person? Or is this like the sixth or seventh person you've done this week? You know? Yeah.
Well, what goes on behind the scenes is even more gruesome. I lived in New York City many years ago, and I've also have a lot of friends who work in Hollywood. The disease that goes on with these people is unbelievable. Anorexia, bulimia, constant purging, constant binging, use of all kinds of drugs to regulate their weight, concerns over complexion, body type. They basically are artificial human beings, getting their teeth laminated, getting silicone injections into their boobs. And the men are no better. They've created a culture of, frankly, homo mannequins, to call them, you know, by what they really are. These are just walking, breathing mannequins.
Well, I think every guy in this picture has probably had Botox done. I mean, this is something that it goes on in the modeling world. And I think that you hit the nail on the head, both of you actually. Really good points on this, because there's another element here, and that is not just about what these particular people are going through in their minds and what's going on behind the scenes. What's going on in the minds of the people that are watching this show, and especially young people who are impressionable and who are, you know, they're looking up to these kinds of people and they can't wait to tune in. And never mind the adults that are also consuming their mind with this type of stuff. And then you have women, you know, they're mothers of, you know, three kids, and they're worried to death about, oh, I got a wrinkle this morning. My hair, I saw gray hair. And in the ancient culture, they would look at that as a sign of wisdom and beauty. Mm-hmm. And you're a mother. And that's an elevated status in the community. Whereas today it's looked down upon. You have to go get some kind of plastic surgery. You need to be paranoid 24/7 about how perfectly red and juicy your lips look. And if it's not natural, we've got all kinds of stuff we can inject in there, and we can tweak this and shave that and clip this and perform surgery on your body to try to make it look like this image that the media is projecting, that's impossible to attain.
You ask them, like, how did you get all these artificial things? And they go, oh, well, we salvaged old chemical weapon dumps for all the overuse that they did for World War II. And it was illegal to dump it into particular areas because it's kind of against the law. It's called environmental degradation and pollution and killing the entire ecosystem. So what we did is we just kind of, like, you know, watered it down. You know, we cut it, to use a drug term, with a whole bunch of other products that also aren't really good for you, and produces some kind of, you know, beautifying effect. So that you'll get sicker and die faster while you're getting prettier. And as a result, you live a good, pretty carcass for necrophiliacs to take advantage of.
Well, exactly. And not even to mention the animal testing and all this stuff that goes on with these products. My wife got this book the other day that's called There's Lead in Your Lipstick. And it's just a good read on just one element of what's in some of these makeup products that women are putting all over their faces to try to impress the boss, impress, you know, the men at work, and impress their husbands or boyfriends or whatever is going on. And these products are toxic. And you wonder why we've got this explosion in skin cancers and breast cancer and, and also the psychological damage that's being done. Like you were bringing up the whole thing about, you know, the eating disorders, et cetera. I've seen young girls come into my martial arts studio and they're bullied endlessly at school by these girls because this girl, she's beautiful. I look at her, I'm like, you're a beautiful young girl. You've got a lot of potential. You're smart. You're funny. You're talented. Yet at school, it just doesn't cut it anymore because she's not logging into Facebook on her cell phone during class all day. And she's not dressing like a tramp at school and trying to attract that male attention by the age of 12 or 13. And therefore, she's now cut out of her peer group and then degraded to the point where now she's got an eating disorder because she doesn't feel like she's good enough. And then you turn on the television and it's just reinforced again and again and again. So if people out there don't think that this isn't cultural, social engineering or culture creation on behalf of Madison Avenue and these advertising companies, I mean, you got to go and do some research. You really got to take a smart look at this because this is just over the top and it's just getting worse. And we really need to start helping these kids and really bringing them up with some good moral values.
Yeah, and what also occurs to me is how could you deny the effect of television on children? You name me a child today that hasn't acted out or pretended to be or dressed up like one of the cartoon characters on TV before.
Yeah. I did it when I was young. I wanted to be all the people I look up to. I watched MacGyver, Michael Knight, all that stuff. I wanted to be all those guys. And now
I wanted to be all the Power Rangers.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And today, people dress like Power Rangers, man. Look at these guys. They're all like black Power Ranger. But it's just insane. And, I mean, Randy, you've been around a little bit longer than both Vinny and myself. And, you know, we look to you for some wisdom in terms of having more of foresight as to how this has developed. How's it been? And also, just speaking to people that you know who might be from generations before, how's it been seeing just the speed at how this has really started to ramp up in our society today?
Well, you're right. It is dizzying, the decay level. I've lived long enough now to see three generations in my life, that being my generation, my children, and my grandchildren, which I have one right now. And I look at the span between those generations and I realize that there is this gigantic gulf that has taken place. It's not the same world that I grew up in. And I grew up in a small town which was very remote from most of the popular culture. I mean, I grew up in the 70s, but the 60s were actually happening. But I've seen a long enough span now to see how far down we've gone in terms of the human condition. A lot of what we're talking about in terms of these superficial things, the media especially, is taking away the ability of human beings to be introspective, to go inside themselves, because now everything's externalized. So when you find young people, and I had a conversation on Saturday with two young men that stopped by our house here, they're friends of my son, and one was 19, one was 27. And I was just blown away by these two young guys and how, quite frankly, they got it, you know, but they were in a process, each of them, of separating from this culture. They saw how superficial it was. They saw that they had no future. These are young men. And they saw that they had no future in corporate America. They realized that the economic decay made them having what their parents had nearly impossible unless they started to think outside of the box. And that's what they were doing. That's what they were talking about. So it's a long span. And when you look at it from my perspective, it's discouraging. And yet at the same time, I see glimmers of hope in it all.
And glimmers of hope. I mean, when we look at this, we've all, and Vinny, let's get your take on this. You've done a lot more radio shows than I have. You've been doing this for a long time, a lot of activism and going down to local protests and, you know, bringing out these facts, you know, on a bullhorn and stuff like that, which, you know, we definitely need that. And
so, I'm kind of New Zealand's most technologically advanced activist.
Okay.
Let's answer that question on the other side. Folks, don't be rude. Back, everybody. We are live. We've got a couple more segments left here on the second edition of the Man Talk Project, talking about guy stuff, talking about real issues, what's going on in the world, what's going on with media and how it affects the psyche of human beings, which it seems to be pretty much the driving force behind most people's motivation. They get up in the morning and they're already checking the what shows are going to be on by the time they get home from their strenuous and stressful jobs. And if you live in my city, Toronto, you know you've got a good 2 hours of traffic both ways before you're even going to reach work or reach home. And it just, it kind of makes me sad when I talk to the average person around here and I just see that they're defeated. That's really what it comes down to, is that they've been defeated completely. And when you get defeated in your mind and you're not any longer attached to your own personal sovereignty, your own identification with what it means to be you and to have your own individual personality, that your own opinion, not just a reflection of somebody else. It's like, I think it's Mark Twain or something that said, you know, most people are other people. It's the truth. But when you can get past all that and get past all that stress and all that, blatantly, it's just mind control that's out there that's trying to convince you that you're something you're not. When you can get past that and you find your center and you remember who you are and you get down to the nitty gritty, and then at that point, you're really going to start feeling alive. And when I look at most people, unfortunately, I just see that they've just turned off and they've just tapped out. They've given up. They don't know what to do. They can't make ends meet. Their life is just nothing but stress. So it's just easier to come home, turn the television on, zone out, forget about anything that really matters. You don't want to hear anything negative. You don't want to hear about what's going on in the world, because most people are just so disempowered. They can't even begin to conceptualize what they're going to do about it. And right before the break, we were just talking, I was trying to bring up some stuff about Vinny's work and how he's been out there being an activist for quite some time in New Zealand. And he's acquired some pretty fancy technology. And I guess he's kind of considered the most technologically advanced, you know, activist out in his neck of the woods. So Vinny, maybe you can carry it on from there.
Yeah. Also, I think you're right about your point when you said that everybody seems to be defeated. Now, I don't think the Arabs have been, because you know how they throw their shoes at their enemy? Do you know what, do you know how they do that? Why yeah. they do that?
Yeah.
To show them defeat.
And George Bush got thrown at him or something.
Yeah. And in fact, there was an enormous amount of protest that was sparked worldwide. We're using the shoe as an example, and it was like on The Life of Brian. Give me your shoe. Oh yeah.
And then Austin Powers is like, who throws a shoe? Honestly,
you know, you would wish that an American president wouldn't have such quick reflexes and see something, but the thing is, he knew where he was, and he saw it coming. He knew there was a possibility to it. He was delivering that speech, wouldn't you? You know, yeah. Mr. President, there are some Arabs in the room. You, there might be some incoming in the form of a loafer. And the whole point about technology, and getting back to the original point here, is that we've got it. And boy, oh boy, can we use it to really good purposes. It's a double-edged sword. Some cheap-ass scumbaggery agent within a massive media complex that's worth multi-million dollars with huge quantities of exhaustive equipment deliver about maybe 2 minutes of real information per day. Me with a giant 27-inch quad-core iMac with built-in microphone and camera, I think it's about a 72-inch LCD television behind me to project a background with, a 1080 HD camera phone mounted on a tripod in front of the computer with the power plugged in, a light stand with four giant energy saver light bulbs that are about six or seven times the size of your ordinary energy saver light bulb. The place lights up like the sun. And the ability to print DVDs, burn CDs, DVDs, and things of that nature. A person has also sent down a bunch of professionally printed canvas banners that we've got on the back of Core Flute, which is, you know, that stuff that you have for real estate signs and what have you. You know, that stuff that's kind of like weather ready. It doesn't matter whether you're standing in the rain or not. And we've got a dozen or so of such banners with different messages about, you know, state surveillance and the Prime Minister John Key and how the state assets are being sold off to the World Bank and so on and so forth. You know, something for every single occasion. I've got a 100-watt megaphone. There are only six of those in the country. The army and the police have three of them, and activists have the other three, and then they made it illegal to import them because they're just too powerful. And we've got one of those. In tandem, when linked up with some other activists in other parts of the country, so we're all part of the kind of same network because the same guy bought them all and divvied them out to activists who we thought we were actually doing a good job and would actually wind up using them. I happen to be one of those people. And another megaphone that's been donated as well. Every single thing that I'm listing here has all been donated. I haven't paid for a single thing of my equipment. I've also got a shoulder-mounted camera. Okay, with a little camera arm that can stick out in front of me or wherever so you can catch my face while I'm doing the protesting so I don't actually have to hold a camera doing that at all. You see what I'm saying? Bluetooth wireless microphones that set up a connection between a receiver that you just plug right into the mic jack of your little HD camera, right? Gets clear audio, crisp, from up to 50 meters away. It's 150 feet, okay? And you got that when you're walking around. You can just use that as basically your microphone. Hello, I'm Vinnie Eastwood, such and such and blah, 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 blah. Who the frick are you? And then, okay. On top of that.
Response stuff right there.
On top of that, I actually shoot stuff all over the place for pretty much any single conceivable protest that you can think of. People protesting against surveillance. People protesting against the scumbaggery trade deals that were being under that are destroying the sovereignty of the country. People who were going out protesting the use of poisons, pesticides, GMOs, Monsanto. You frickin' name it, I'm there with the 100-watt megaphone to lead the charge. And I have the loudest voice you will ever hear in this realm or the next. And I use it.
And more people should use it, man. And so when you go down to a protest, Vinny, I mean, what? How is it? You unrolled all this stuff. You set everything up. And do other activists just run away from you? Or do you end up getting people that sort of join in and support you? Like, what's the main thing that keeps kind of happens there?
It's a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B. People allegedly thinking that they're thinking for themselves is like that, isn't it? And, you know, so a lot of the protesters come up to me and they're like, oh, mate, it's just brilliant. It's so funny and such and blah, blah, blah. You know, thank you very much for doing what you're doing. Here's a lolly. Here's a throat lozenge. Here's a $100 note. Whoa, really? You give me a $100 note, bro? He's like, man, you know, you've given me reason to live. And I'm like, whoa, okay. You know? And wow. I'm just like, you got to, and that happened twice in the same day. Two people gave me a $100 note. Right, just because I helped out leading one protest that my presence was unappreciated at. In fact, the person who organised that protest, next time he organised a town hall meeting, you know, against this new surveillance bill that's been passed in New Zealand, he private messages me and he says, who gave you permission to film? You know, when I said that I was going to come and film and put it up on the internet for people to see, because there's a whole bunch of important speakers and things of that nature that are exposing scumbaggery in all its eclectic forms. And you know, it's just like, who gave you permission to film? Or are you freaking kidding me? How many times? Because it's like, he's a Fabian socialist, right? You know what the symbol of Fabian socialism is? It's a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So what kind of agenda is being sold to New Zealand activists, you know, unwittingly? By a wolf in sheep's clothing. And I can guarantee you that most of the protest marches, and indeed virtually all of the protest marches that get launched here in New Zealand, wound up being led and or organized by people who are, you know, either openly in the Fabian socialist fold or just acting like it. And getting back to the Man Talk project, guess who decided was a great idea to feminize men and finance feminism and split the family unit up so that they could get attached on everybody's kids and start indoctrinating them into the way of the state? The Fabian socialist party.
Yeah, exactly.
And interestingly enough, it is interesting that they have that logo, the wolf in sheep's clothing. I mean, that's been something that has been warned about forever. And it's just interesting that they would actually blatantly put that out there, that that's exactly what they are. And when you go in and look at what they, you know, what they're putting out in terms of their mentality, it's exactly that. And, you know, when you look at some of these protests, obviously, Vinny, I'm sure you've seen a lot of this police brutality that takes place at these things, and kind of talking from the perspective of men here, we see more and more of a recruiting process that's been going on, especially in professional sports. I mean, if you go to a hockey game, you go to a UFC fighting championship, whatever, you've got advertisements there. This event is brought to you by the military or brought to you by the local police force. Join and, you know, be all you can be and all this shit. And then you get these guys that are goosed up on steroids. They think they're men. They believe that they're men, but they're going out there and beating up little kids and women and old people and people with prosthetic limbs, etc. And, you know, this is just, again, another way of hyper-masculinizing these men and putting them out there, and they're just acting like thugs for the state. So, I mean, what kind of experience do you have of that?
Pardon? You know, I just kind of thinking about this for a moment. How exactly are we supposed to put up a good example for people in general if the people who are leading the protest marches aren't willing to do what's necessary, aren't willing to say the whole truth and allude to it all in the grand scheme? Because once you know the grand scheme, once you know all of the things that these people are talking about, oh, boy, does it become clear whenever they open their mouths, doesn't it? You've seen this in the mouths of the politicians. You've heard this out of the mouths of people on television and news and movie lines and things of this nature that all kind of come together to believe this one mentality that men don't really mean much away in the form of masculine chauvinism or gentlemanly conduct anymore. No. It's all about being the strong man who just gets the girls and is really not that bright at the end of the day. Somebody who's an irresponsible father. Somebody who doesn't have a father or doesn't have a proper family upbringing. You name me one Disney film where the main character had both of their parents alive for the entirety of the film. Does not exist. There's a reason for this, and it all ties in. Now, you only understand what the implications of these things are when you see them. So whenever you're looking through an episode of, say, Futurama or something, and you see an all-seeing eye of the Illuminati pyramid very clearly, blatantly on the wall in between two characters having a conversation, you don't think that's just coincidence, do you? That art directors said, you know, just, oh, I don't know, just chuck a random symbol in there, and it just turns out to be the rank and file Illuminati message, you know. You know, we just Google image search stuff to put on your wall behind random conversations between a conspiracy theorist and a character of the and the main character of a cartoon. No, it was just accidental.
Oh, exactly. Now, Randy, when we're talking about seeing this sort of hyper masculinity in culturing, in the media, and in the police and military, you were bringing up the military earlier. You've probably clearly seen that this has been something that has, I guess it's always been there. Whenever they need to get people to go to war, of course, there's a whole conditioning process. They go through the training, and you're taught to just sort of blindly listen to authority and don't listen to your intuition, and all you do is follow orders. You never question. But again, there's been this extreme degradation of the military as well, and the mentality of what it is, where it started out as being this idea of protecting the nation, and the police officers were there. You got the old, like, Barney Fife type police officer helping old women cross the street with their groceries and pulling cats out of trees and rounding up the bad guys. And now the police of the day are just they're going nuts. It's like they're letting these guys loose. From your perspective or your experience, what would you say in terms specifically with police and military today? Well, what's going on with that?
The first part of that is that, in my mind, the only valid military would be the militias. In other words, here in the United States, we originally formed ourselves around the idea that we did not have standing armies. And in fact, that was enshrined in our founding documents, and then we blissfully ignored it, and we had standing armies. The original format of the Second Amendment rights in the United States went to the soul of this by basically designating that we would have militias. The militias were citizen soldiers who were basically seen as people who came to the defense of their land, their borders, their property, and their people. The police, on the other hand, are a different matter. In the United States, again, I'll use us as an example because we're such a poor example most of the time. The only really designated law enforcement person was the sheriff in the founding documents of the United States. Police forces grew up around the idea of constables and the protection of certain municipal subdivisions, towns, villages, and basically were seen as security guards. And what has happened...
There's the music there, Randy. Sorry to cut you off. So let's get back into that on the other side. We've got one more segment, guys, so we'll try to wrap up our thoughts on this stuff. So folks, don't go anywhere. Listen to Truth, War, and American Freedom Radio. We'll be right back. The second edition of the Man Talk Project, which is sort of a play on, of course, the Montauk Project. And Vinny, thanks
the
for
Montauk, coming
back, by the way.
Montauk.
The Montauk Project, as they call it in Jamaica, is also a place where you can learn to speak with a Jamaican accent. They called it the Montauk Project for that very reason.
There you go. Exactly. Now, we've only got one more segment here, guys, so we're just going to kind of go through a few finishing thoughts on these things that we were bringing up. But, Randy, before the break, you got cut off and you were just getting into the whole...
Let me just wrap that up this way.
Yeah, do it.
We wouldn't need hyper military and hyper police if we were a moral culture. The fact is, we have law enforcement and military we deserve because we've abdicated. Real simple.
Yeah, I think that's about right. And speaking of abdicating certain things, the whole thing about being a dad, all the guys out there are just like, oh, my God, you know, your life is over, and such, blah, blah, blah. You know, they just basically they don't want the responsibility of having a life to take up, to take care of. And then once it's born, it's like, oh, my God, I love it so much. I loved it a lot. And you can't bear to live without them, which is why, incidentally, the old eugenics court system now favors mothers. And guess what? If you go to a family court in New Zealand and you're a guy, you have to pay for all your own legal fees. But if you're a woman, you get what's called legal aid. And the government pays for your lawyer up to $1,000 an hour. Isn't that nice? And she can do it an unlimited amount of times. Same with counseling. If you're having problems because your children have been taken off you by the state, a woman can get unlimited counseling. Unlimited counseling. a man can only get 6 sessions on the taxpayer. It's because, you know, as a man, of course, after only 6 sessions of therapy, you must have had everything all taken in order. And, you know, because, you know, the one thing that'll help you get off with never being able to see your kid because some kind of corrupt system brainwashed people into taking away your very lifeblood and sport on this earth. 6 sessions of therapy can just compensate for all of that. You know, you should be all right. Get on with it. What are you worried about?
Not a problem. Just go Bradley Manning on them. You'll be able to qualify for both sides of it. You'll be a father and a woman both.
I could be a woman.
Well, and speaking as, I mean, I was just talking to you guys over the break, the fact that, you know, I've recently become a new father.
No. It's not a woman. It's a famine. Father, that's a woman. A famine. Look at that. I don't like that one. And you don't even have to start to doing it.
Whatever works, you know, I guess. But basically, you know, speaking as a new father, and I have a young 1.5-year-old daughter, and, you know, all the stuff we've been bringing up and what I've been looking into, it kind of scares the crap out of me, to be honest. But at the same time, when I hear my friends that are fathers and they're constantly preaching all this doom and gloom about what it is to be a father, I just look at them and I just see the fact that they just haven't entered adulthood yet. They haven't quite, as you were bringing up before, Vinny, they haven't quite grown up at all in their own, for their own, just for their own life and their own goals and interests, but let alone to support the life of somebody else and to try to be a role model. And I think that's what this ultimately comes down to, is that not only do we not have good role models in politics, in religion, in, you know, mainstream, in the media, television shows, sports icons, etc., we don't have good parents and good fathers in terms of role models. And it'd just be nice to see that rekindled again. And once in a while, I'll meet a guy that's a father, 1 or 2 kids, and I actually look up to him and I go, wow, this guy, you know, he goes to the nines for his kids and he's really there and he really cares. He really listens. He's really trying. And at the end of the day, you know, as a parent, you're going to make mistakes. You're not perfect. But as long as the intention that you have is to try to offer the best love and support that you can for your children and to actively research and learn about and become aware of the time in which you live. I mean, it is not the 1950s anymore. It's a totally different world. It's a brave new world, as Aldous Huxley would say. I think he was right in a lot of his predictions about what we're facing here. But to kind of sum it up, why don't you guys just, I mean, let's start with you, Vinny. What would you like to see change the most in men today? What would be the number one thing on your list? If you could walk up to a man and say, look, buddy, this is what you got to change, what would it be?
Larger cojones, which I believe can be achieved via surgery.
That is all. Pesky testes, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah. And I had this, seriously now. Manning up ain't just about hardening up. All right? There's a soft side. And there's a thing. I mean, you can see how fathers talk to their little girls and stuff like that. They put on this little persona, which is very sweet and very cute and very unmanly. And yet, that is indeed the balance. You know, yeah. There's a man's love and there's a woman's love. And I think children need both. And so if you're the man, look at it this way. Nothing survives without a little bit of love. And that's what you got to show all the time, rather constantly, because you achieve some form of understanding with the people around you, you know, with your own children. If you really love them and actually really want to know how their day was, it was just like, oh, it was good. It's just like, that's not good enough for me. I'm sorry, love. There's a lot of listening that comes from a lot of loving, you know. You ever done pillow talk with your missus? Okay, it's the same thing. Everybody,
different expressions of it. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And everybody needs to know that it's not like unmanly to love something ridiculously. I mean, if anything, that's actually the thing that balances out the man equation, because that's how we can hook up with other creatures and things like that. You know, we can love our dogs, we can love our cats, we can love our kids, we can love our missus. And I think that there's been this agenda to just, you know, make us stop loving everything, including ourselves, and really not have any deep emotional bond that we share with other people and especially ourselves, you know. So, guys, you got to love everybody for whatever there is to love. And some people, yeah, they ain't going to return nothing. And by all means, it's all about balance. Don't love everything. If you don't hate something, you wouldn't know what it's really like to truly love something. All right. That's my two cents.
Excellent. And Randy, what do you think? Closing thoughts on that.
Well, you know, we started out this conversation back when Vinny's show talking, I think, about the sacred feminine. And we've kind of sideways kind of inserted this idea that the sacred male is something we need to approach. What it really is the two opposites balance each other. They make each other sacred. The extremes that we see in the culture with butch women and feminized men polarize, and they drive a wedge between men and women in a way that destroys all the natural balance. So a lot of what we're talking about tonight is regaining balance and not having gender wars, but establishing boundaries for how we're supposed to behave as male and female beings.
Well, yeah, well put. And I think to add to that, it's that we really do need to go within and try to define it for ourselves. I mean, we've brought up our opinions here tonight, folks. And if you're listening out there, you really need to just think about this on your own and do your own research, do your own inner research, try to put this into your own context. And just, you know, if you're a man out there, ask yourself, what does it mean to you to be a man? What characteristics and virtues do you look up to? Whether you had a good role model in your life or not, you are a human being. You are alive. And that uniqueness that you have to try to tap into it and learn how to express it. And the same would go for women as well. So it's very much an internal process. And I think that one of the biggest mistakes, or not mistakes, but just is something we were led into in this modern culture, is to just copy others and to look up to someone else. And this is the problem we've gotten into with politics, with giving away our rights and freedoms to, and it is our fault in that sense, is that we have allowed this to take place. We might not be directly implicated in the actions of these corrupt, scumbaggery things, as Vinny would say, but we are implicated in the fact that we have acquiesced to it. And that's one element of it. You know, same with the big religious institutions of the world, which have been aiming at dividing spirituality and dividing people from each other and creating division and war. It's something that we have to go in on an internal level individually and try to remember that we have to try to empower ourselves to, once again, you know, figure out who we are, why we're here on our own. Stop just listening blindly to some authority. That also goes for the media, young kids watching television. You know, just we have to be careful at what we expose our children to, and we have to talk to them. And just as like Vinny was talking about, just have a conversation and get their feeling on it. And so that's honestly my take, is that this has to be an internal individual process. People have to figure it out for themselves and basically come to their own conclusions. So basically, with that being said, guys, we've only got about a minute left, I think, here. And I just want to thank you guys both. It's been a pleasure having you guys on the show and just sort of shooting these ideas back and forth. I really hope to do another show. And I guess, Randy, we're going to be on your show next, coming up soon, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're gonna set that up.
It's on the 25th of September or something like that, right? What time, Randy?
Let's do it right now. Let's figure it out. Let's do it.
Well, let's figure it out. It would be 9 p.m. Eastern time, and September 25th.
All right.
We'll do it. Offplanetradio.net. You can go there and catch the stream live. There's a chat room. And we take callers, too. So hopefully we'll piss somebody off enough to come at us. How about that?
That would be awesome.
Hopefully it's some vengeful Fabian feminist.
Some bitter feminist. Yeah.
Yeah. I've never had any kids and my life's never been better. You know, it's clearly balanced you out a heck of a lot, love. Had a boyfriend a long time, thought not. Good night.
Yeah, excellent. Well, guys, it's been a pleasure, and I think that we're definitely going to do this again. Round three coming up, the Man Talk Project, the Mon Talk Project, and we're definitely going to be going over some different elements of this. I think it's one of the most important conversations we have to have, because there's a lot of confusion out there amongst both men and women, and there's a lot of unbalance. And I think that's really what it comes down to as well, is that we got to rebalance